This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Ashton Mara. Despite a nationwide increase in home births over the last few years, the percentage of women choosing to give birth in their homes remains less than 1% throughout most of Appalachia. Carol Lofton reports many of the women in the region choosing a home birth with a midwife do it because they want to control their birthing experience and eliminate what they perceive as unnecessary medical interventions.
In a tiny basement living room in southwestern Virginia, two women and their husbands listen to Joanna Davis talk about what might go wrong during their births.
So this is an AMBU bag, and if your baby were in trouble and needed help breathing, this is what we would use to help resuscitate your baby.
Davis is a home birth midwife based in southwestern Virginia, but serves a significant swath of central Appalachia. Several months ago, she invited me to attend a birthing class she was holding for two families interested in using her services.
So this is the delivery set. These are sterile instruments. All of my instruments are double sterilized. So I sterilize them in a hospital-grade antimicrobial solution, take them out of that, rinse them in hot water, then wrap them in the OR towels and put them in the oven for 2 hours.
During the class, she and an apprentice went over every instrument and scenario, both good and bad, that could possibly occur during a birth. Davis says she requires all families to attend the classes so they know exactly what they are getting into.
Most of the philosophy in my practice is that moms and dads do a great job of getting babies in there, and they do a great job of getting babies out. I really love when the dads catch the babies, when they're super in tune and involved in all of that. I'll step in when they need me to, but mostly I feel like my job is just to create a safe place for them to do their work.
Davis worked for about 10 years as what's called a direct entry midwife. She didn't have official training, but learned through careful studying, researching, and shadowing other midwives. In January 2015, she decided to pursue licensure and pass the necessary requirements to become a certified professional midwife, a designation recognized in Virginia, but not in Kentucky and West Virginia, although both Kentucky and West Virginia are currently working on legislation that would change that. She said when she first started, the women she served were
super conservative on one end and super ultra-liberal, hippie, crunchy, those people. And now we really are finding that people all across that whole spectrum are much more interested in owning the experience of their own birth and wanting to be more comfortable and more in control with their births.
To meet one such family, I traveled north to a pretty house in an upper middle class Morgantown suburb.
My husband is a physician. He's trained to deliver babies, but most OBs that work in a hospital setting, they're actually surgeons, so they're trained to deal with the things that come up that are not part of the normal birthing process.
That's Cassandra Harvey. Harvey has three children. The first was born in a birthing center, the second in a hospital, and the third at her Morgantown home. Harvey did later clarify that her husband is a general practitioner, not an obstetrician, and that his training in birth occurred as part of an obstetrics rotation in medical school.
I will say that at first he was a little unsure about the whole home birth process, which is why we had a midwife, even though he's a doctor and could have handled it on his own. But he said it was important to him that he get to just play the dad and not have to play the medical provider as well.
Harvey was adamant that having a home birth doesn't mean she's uneducated or reckless, two accusations she heard over the course of her pregnancy, but rather that she was hyper-educated. She knew exactly what she wanted, what the risks were, and how to choose a provider who would help her achieve her goals.
Most women, if they're low risk, can have a healthy delivery without any kind of intervention, but in a hospital, they're looking for those things. And so when you have an intervention, it can snowball. And so when I say on my terms, I want it to be completely the way nature intended it to be without someone looking for a reason to create or have an intervention.
A friend who used the same midwife is also present. Her baby girl, just 6 weeks younger than Harvey's daughter, begins to gurgle happily.
What do you think, huh?
How was the experience for you?
See, I was born in the water, and it was awesome.
This is not to say that all home births always go well or that everyone has a good experience with them. Almost all the mothers I talked to, I met through the midwives who served them. So consequently, the population sample was enthusiastic about home birth.
I currently have in my practice two women who have documented PTSD from home births gone awry. and are seeking care for that. So I think the idea that it can't go wrong just because it's in your house are completely false.
That's Dr. Dara Aliff, a Charleston-based OBGYN. While Aliff says she isn't totally against home birth like some of her colleagues, she strongly cautions against what she calls home birth at all costs and urges women to choose their providers carefully.
I can't think of a situation where I would say to somebody, gosh, you are just an ideal candidate to do that, because you never know who's going to be the one. Who's going to be the one that all of a sudden isn't? And that can happen quickly.
The official viewpoint of the American College of Obstetrics is that hospitals and birthing centers are the safest setting for birth. However, the college respects the right of a woman to make a medically informed decision about delivery. A little data to further muddy the waters. According to the Committee on Obstetric Practice, women who have planned hospital births are twice as likely to have a C-section as those who plan home births. However, planned home births are also associated with a 2- to 3-fold increased risk of neonatal death when compared with planned hospital births. Midwife Joanna Davis, who we talked to at the beginning of the story, says she does anywhere between 12 to 24 births a year. This past year was her busiest year on record. Still, home births in the three states that she serves, West Virginia, Virginia, and Kentucky, average less than 1% of all births, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from the Benedum Foundation.
The upcoming episode of Inside Appalachia takes an in-depth look at midwives in the region and explores the benefits and risks of home birth. You can catch the hour-long episode, which includes an extended version of this story, this Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 7, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. You can also subscribe to the Inside Appalachia podcast on Downcast, iTunes, and WVPublic.org.
3, 4, 1, 2...
What you're hearing is audio captured 25 years ago this week on Mountain Stage in Charleston. That's when world-renowned pop rock band REM gave what would become a legendary performance for the radio program. Adam Harris is the executive producer of Mountain Stage here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting and joins us now to discuss the anniversary. Adam, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Ashton. Thanks for having me.
So, Adam, you were 9 years old when this performance was recorded and
That's right.
aired on Mountain Stage. I will say, I was just a year old,
okay.
So I think I win the contest. But you say that REM's performance has been something of a legend since. This was in 91. So what did it mean for Mountain Stage to have REM on the show at that time?
Well, it was huge, Ashton. I mean, this is no doubt one of the most popular bands in the world at the time. And they'd been on a bit of a touring hiatus. And they emerged to come and perform on Mountain Stage. And it brought so much attention, not only to our show, but, you know, to Charleston and West Virginia as well. I mean, Governor Caperton was there. He declared it REM Day in West Virginia. Rolling Stone magazine showed up. The Today Show had a crew there because they wanted to figure out why REM was doing this show in West Virginia. And it was the only ticketed event they did in the United States that year. They did two other performances. One was on Saturday Night Live, and one was on MTV Unplugged. And so this show in Charleston was the only ticketed event they did in the States that year. So it was a huge deal, and it caused a lot of attention to be diverted to the show.
Did you guys ask that question? Does Larry know why they chose Mountain Stage?
You know, it's the stuff of legend, Ashton. As, we've heard Larry's, you know, stories and Andy's stories over the years, and Peter Buck from REM came on the show with a different group, and he said, maybe I'll bring my other band back sometime. And Andy, my predecessor and former executive producer of the show and co-founder, he thinks that might have been a recon mission. Like, maybe he was checking in and see, could we really do this? And sure enough, they came back, and it really helped make the show. I mean, Andy said he went from making calls to receiving calls from artists that wanted to be on Mountain Stage. Stage after that.
So 25 years later, what is Mountain Stage doing to recognize the anniversary of this performance?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, Larry and Francis, our engineer, and Andy were around. So we've heard their stories, and a lot of our band and some of our crew even are still here. So we've heard their stories before, but what we don't have is that audience perspective. The folks that were there, the folks who waited in line at the Capitol Plaza Theater that day in April in 91. And so we made a post at wvpublic.org, and it's on all our social media accounts as well, where we're asking folks to tell their stories, share their memories with us. There's a real easy to fill out form there, and you can share your memories. And we're hoping maybe we'll collect some of these for a special, maybe a podcast or something down the road to recognize the anniversary.
Right, because, you know, this is the age of social media.
Yeah.
And Mountain Stage has done a really good job keeping up with it. Yeah, you know, every Sunday evening that you all have a show, my Instagram feed, my Facebook feed is full of photos or videos of people in the audience enjoying the shows.
Yeah.
But we don't have those things from this performance.
Not from 91, no. Can you imagine if REM were on the show today? You know, there would be videos and Instagram photos on every account possible. But, you know, there's relatively little bit of stuff that we have. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to ask people. We want to see some more photos. We want to see what it was like. And we've already received about 25 responses, and they're very, very interesting.
Adam Harris is the executive producer on Mountain Stage. If you have a memory from the show, share it with us at wvpublic.org. Adam, Song of the Week is next. You want to help me out?
Oh, for sure, man. This is one of my favorite bands, the Bottle Rockets out of Missouri. And, man, they've got a great knack for boiling complicated things down into very simple messages. And I think you'll hear that in this song. It's called Dog.
Sometimes just this simple. Sometimes life is just this simple. Sometimes life is really just this simple. I love my dog. I love my dog. He's my dog. And my dog don't love you. That's okay. I don't want him to. He's my dog. I love my dog, he's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's okay. I don't want you to, he's my dog. Sometimes just this simple. Sometimes life is just this simple. Sometimes life is really just this simple. I love my dog. This song, it's my song. If you don't love this song, that's okay. I don't want you to. This isn't about you, it's about my dog. I love my dog, he's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's okay. I don't want you to, he's my dog.
That was the Bottle Rockets with Dog. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org, and the latest election news at our new site, elections.wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Shepherd University, and Concord University. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Ashton Mara.